Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
Chris McMichael here with you on The Fan 202. As I got you for three more hours as we take it to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. Fliegelman on the other side taking your calls here on this Tuesday morning off of just one of those nights where if you're a Yankee fan, that's as frustrating. That's what baseball gives you. That is one of the more frustrating nights of watching your baseball team play. In a game that we had high hopes for, I gotta be totally honest with you. I was looking forward to the game tonight all day. We're coming off getting swept by the Boston Red Sox in embarrassing fashion. The Pats are ice cold. Ice cold all weekend long. They've scored, you know, 5 runs in the previous 4 games. It was ugly, it was embarrassing, it was everything that you could possibly fear out of a Red Sox series. And I talked about it last night, I was on the show yesterday. And it all changed for me, and we're going to get to more of it as we complain about how the Yankees talk publicly and how the Yankees say things that doesn't make sense. Oh my goodness, the Red Sox. But they trade away Devers and it changes everything. And I got to be honest with you, it did. It changed a lot for me. I felt a lot better after the loss. I'm like, you know what? They're coming home to the lousy Angels. They took all 3 from Anaheim earlier in the year. They're coming back home. They're going to score some runs. Then we find out for sure that Big G Giancarlo Stanton is back in the lineup. And quite honestly, he looks locked in better than I think I've ever seen him look coming straight from off the IL, which we're very used to him coming back straight from off the IL. But they're coming back. They're playing a lousy Angels team. They're back at home in the Bronx. They've got Giancarlo Stanton back in the lineup for the first time all year. This is the game that we're going to just start to feel better. Devers and the Red Sox embarrassed themselves. They have the stupid, dopey press conference here at 8 o'clock or whatever. Like, they're further embarrassing themselves. You heard the comment in the open there about, well, you know, it's about the buy-in. And then we hear some of the dumbest quotes. We'll get to it. But I was just feeling better. I was feeling better. And I removed myself from the previous 4 games, even the win against the Royals the last game of that series where the offense did nothing. And I tried to tell myself today was going to be a better day, and instead, I think we got probably, in my mind, even a more frustrating game in ways than any of the 3 in Fenway. Like, honestly, Crochet shut you down, okay. You have some of the dumbest decisions on the base paths you've ever seen. Sure, that's extremely frustrating, but this game, they did. And I don't want to hear about hitting the ball hard because, you know, I understand the dead ball. There's a conversation around it. The ball's doing less things. And yeah, did I think Bellinger hit two in this game? Yes, I did. Did I think Judge got one? Yes, I did. Did I even think Goldschmidt hit the hell out of that ball that gets caught in center field? I certainly did. But that doesn't excuse the fact that they were awful at the plate this game and had so many opportunities, 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. And just time and time again, and you watch the end of the game. First, you're watching Clark Schmidt and what he's able to do. And that was, you know, as we worry about this rotation, right? And you got Luis Gil coming back at the end of the, probably after the All-Star break. And Carlos Rodon, his last two starts against the Boston Red Sox, have not been his best. And we're always concerned. We're waiting for the shoe to drop on that at every single turn. Who knows what you're going to get out of Ryan Yarbrough or how long you're going to get anything out of Ryan Yarbrough. We're waiting for, you know, Marcus Stroman to come back. And Clark Schmidt gives you, without question, the easiest. Just, he gets into a little bit of trouble in the first inning, and then I think he sits down 16 guys in a row, goes into the eighth inning of this game. He's locating his fastball. He's throwing that sweeper. He's getting the sinker in, the cutter in. Like, that was as good as Clark Schmidt can be. That was a virtuoso performance from Clark Schmidt when the Yankees desperately needed it coming off of that Subway Series, and the offense completely sucked the air and enthusiasm out of the entire game and out of watching it. They've got, you know, you get Jazz in the second inning, leadoff double, can't even move him over. And Volpe, I mean, we'll get to it. Volpe had a miserable game at the plate. Absolutely miserable. And yes, the New York Yankees after, and I'll still say this, and we'll talk about, you know, I'll give you the resounding comeback at the end of the open, as I always do. They were terrible with runners in scoring position, and they made mental mistakes and have played sloppy here in the last four games. There's no denying it. There's no hiding from it. This game, again, poor. Really, it's not even so much the mental mistakes. There were a couple. Anthony Volpe, when Dominguez is stealing third, you've got to be aware. It's second base. You see him take off. You only have one strike. Take a pitch, allow him to steal third. Instead, he fouls it off. That was about as big a mental mistake as the Yankees made. But their approach, their situational hitting, their runners in scoring position, this game, it feels like, and I know we're used to it, and this Yankee team has done this over the years in the Boone era, which is totally fair and totally true. They have gotten off to really hot starts. And then they have a time period in the middle of the season where they start to lose themselves. And when they do, I honestly, this is where I disagree with a lot of people about Boone and this team. I know that the Martian got caught off a second because he didn't know how many strikes there were. Other than that, all of the mistakes and all of the approach situations that I think are hurting this team right now and have hampered this team in big situations in the World Series are trying to do too much. It's not that it's laissez-faire. It's not that they know the manager doesn't care. I'm sorry. I still refuse to believe that. Like, Judge dropped a ball in the World Series because the culture around the team is it's okay to drop balls. Like, errors are made. Mistakes are made at Fenway Park in the whole world watching. And it's like, oh, it doesn't matter that I've embarrassed myself on national television. The manager won't yell at me. Which, again, we don't know if he doesn't. We know what he says publicly. He will bend over backwards to defend his guys. We have seen articles and you know, I think it was Andy Martino talked to Zach Britton and talked about how different Boone is in the room as he is publicly. And that's part of why the players love him so much. But there's no doubt, without question, in this Boone era, really since like 21 maybe, prior to that it wasn't as big a deal, as they transitioned, as they put Gleyber Torres at shortstop, and as they brought in some lesser players, and as this roster has changed a little bit, this team has been terrible in situational hitting, and they've been prone to the mental gaffe. Now, this team in particular, what's frustrating about this stretch...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
As we watch the Tampa Bay Rays win again, and now the division lead cut to 2.5, 3 in the loss column, what's frustrating about this group is even when they were winning early on in the season last year, you saw a lot of these issues pop up throughout the season. You saw a lot of the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position. You've seen a lot of this issue. And the fact of the matter is, whether you want to hear this or not, or whether you believe it or not, this team has been far better in all of those situations. They have been a far better defensive team. They have been a far better base running team. They had the lead heading into the Boston series. They had made less outs on the base paths than any team in baseball. Runners in scoring position. This team is fourth in Major League Baseball in OPS with runners in scoring position. They're 10th, which is a little bit better than half, in batting average. But they're the fourth best team in OPS with runners in scoring position. They lead the league in sacrifice flies. They have been a far better team at this kind of stuff than they've been in previous years when it's really hampered them. And what's frustrating is when the slump comes, and make no mistake, this is mainly about the idea that the bats have gone cold. Aaron Judge has gone cold. It's bound to happen. He's gone cold. I know he hits a ball 100 miles an hour for a base hit, and I thought he got one to dead center field. He didn't. But the swings were better today than they were in Fenway, but he's gone cold. The rest of the lineup is starting to trend in an opposite direction. You knew Goldschmidt wasn't going to hit 360. Ben Rice is coming back down to average. Obviously, Grisham's been through a month-long slump here. The offense is starting to slump. There's no doubt about it. It's the ups and downs of a 162-game season, and right now the Yankees are going through it offensively. But what bothers me the most isn't even it's the idea that they fixed a lot of it. They've been much better with this. And now when the poor play comes, you see the same mistakes that we've seen in the past. And that's what frustrates me. Because even while they were winning last year, Gleyber Torres, Verdugo, who didn't run out the ball to any time you hit it on the infield, we saw a bunch of issues throughout in previous years, even while they were winning, these issues would pop up from time to time. It has not, for the first 68 games of the year, really been an issue at all for the New York Yankees. The Martian gets thrown out at second base the other night. He was 15 for 15 in stolen bases and has never been picked off prior to that moment. Anthony Volpe, I believe, has never been thrown out stealing third base. It happens in a bad spot against the Boston Red Sox. Like these, the situational hitting, I'll give you, is a little bit different because they've been terrible this year in extra innings. Situational hitting, I'll give you. But outside of that, a lot of the sloppy baseball has been addressed, and it's been addressed with the roster. The players they have brought in, despite Gleyber Torres having a successful offensive season in Detroit, the additions they've made, the changes they've made, the pivot from losing Juan Soto and bringing in ball players like Bellinger, and bringing in ball players like Max Fried, and bringing in ball players like Goldschmidt, they have changed a lot of the narrative around this team. And now it's back in full force. The fans are disgusted. Everybody talks as if this is what this team is when it hasn't been for the first 68 games of the year. And that's what bothers me. And that's what I think is worth talking about, worth yelling about, worth questioning the manager about. We can get to the certain instances in this game. And I've been on Twitter a lot. If you've seen me, at CMACWFN, I have lesser problems than some things. Like, to me, the one thing I'm mad at the manager at, I don't know what else you're mad at him for. There's one thing I'm mad at the manager for. One. When DJ LeMahieu is up in the 10th inning, I don't know why he takes the bunt off after the first attempt. DJ, who can't bunt the ball on the first attempt, which is absolutely frustrating to me, that DJ LeMahieu can't get a bunt down. But then he allows him the choice. He said in the postgame that once after that first bunt attempt, he gives him the choice in the second bunt attempt. That makes no freaking sense to me whatsoever. Bunt him until he has two strikes. Put the bunt on. What are you allowing him to swing away for? That's the only, like, that's it. The manager had nothing else to do today. It was wrong. Didn't make a single other mistake. He's not, Volpe hits a ground ball right into third. Everything happened in this game. Poor situational hitting, poor mistakes, bad luck. Like, you can say it's an excuse making. Hitting a ground ball right into third base as Dominguez is sliding into it is bad luck. Those two balls, I'm not going to make excuses for it. It's not why they lost the game. But Bellinger, that ball's gone. We've seen that swing a million times from a million different left-handed hitters over the last 20-plus years. That ball is out of Yankee Stadium. I don't know how it's not. It wasn't tonight. They got some bad luck. They made some bad mistakes. But ultimately, watching this team, who is now in extra innings, as bad as you could possibly be, they're now 20 scoreless straight innings. In extra innings, their numbers are just unfathomably bad. In extra innings this season, and I know that I've said it before, and it is true, this era of extra innings baseball, this new rule, it doesn't apply in the postseason, which is all, so I don't get too hung up on it because this game of sacrifice bunt and sacrifice fly isn't played in the postseason, but that doesn't change the fact that the Yankees in extra innings this season are hitting 077. 077. How is that possible? They have had 10 innings with the runner on second base, the free runner on second base, 10 innings. They've scored once. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how they've been as bad with this situational hitting and playing in extra innings as they've been in this year. Now, we all heard the stat the other night that they're the worst road team in extra innings over the last 5 years since 2020. They're the best home team, the best in baseball at home in the extra inning. But this year, they have been terrible, and they showed it last night with an inability to come through with the big hit. The inability to lay a bunt down. We can get into whether Jazz should have laid a bunt down early in the game. I have no problem not laying a bunt down in that situation. But clearly, You have to lay that bunt with DJ LeMahieu, and you have to tell him to bunt until there's two strikes. I thought Anthony Volpe had a terrible night, and I know everyone's hung up on the final pitch and Boone's response to it, the final at-bat of the game. And look, here's my take on it. I've been talking about it on Twitter. I have no problem with the theory of swinging at the first pitch in that situation. You bring in a new reliever, bases loaded, the last thing he wants to do is fall behind. I am zoning in on a pitch. If I get it, I am swinging. If Anthony Volpe swung at a fastball and put a good swing on it and hit a line drive at the third baseman or hit a 380-foot fly ball, I wouldn't be upset. What bothers me is that he swung at a slider and it looked like he was protecting. That's not the kind of swing you want there. And I know the manager said as much and people are all upset. I have no problem designating a pitch there to take a good swing at. Bases loaded, two outs, guys coming in. The last thing he wants to do is fall behind. What you cannot do is be out in front and look like you're protecting two strike swings with the first pitch of the game. Anthony Volpe also takes a terrible hack at a pitch that Dominguez has third base stolen on. They have made a bunch of mistakes, and they have been unable to capitalize in situations where it shouldn't be that hard to capitalize. And having said that, the Angels tried to bunt in the bottom of the 10th, and Nito popped it right up. It's a Major League Baseball issue, but we're not concerned with Major League Baseball. We're concerned with the New York Yankees. And in this game to me is even more frustrating than the other three. When you take into the account that the Red Sox vomited all over themselves after the three-game series by trading Devers, when you figure you're getting away from Fenway Park, back home against a lousy Angels team, I don't care how good the stuff is from the starting pitcher. He gave them plenty of pitches to hit. They had 18 runners in scoring position. Or at least 18 at-bats, rather, with runners in scoring position. They had multiple opportunities in this game to take the lead, to score a freaking run. It's the first time since August of 1990 that the Yankees have scored five runs in five games and have only had a 462 OPS. August of 1990. They are in the middle of a horrendous slump. Their captain and leader is in the middle of it. And they are just in one of these things where it is completely contagious, the idea of trying to do too much with runners on. And what bothers me the most is, and I know you don't want to hear this, the Yankees have answered a lot of the questions we have heard over the last few years. For the first 68 games, they have been far better all of this. And once this slump comes, once they start playing poorly, once the offense goes cold, once they struggle in a high-profile series, once the pressure's on, once you feel the footsteps from the Tampa Bay Rays, out come the mistakes. And that's what's frustrating to me. And they have to get back to playing the brand of baseball they were playing a week ago. Because even in the Red Sox series that they lost 2 of 3, they just couldn't get an out. Like every reliever they brought in, every starting pitcher, like they just couldn't get an out. The Red Sox came in and pounded them, but they didn't make that many mistakes. They didn't play an uncrisp brand of baseball. The offense actually scored 6-7 runs a game, got 5 off Garrett Crochet. The offense was performing. Then they go and take two of the best starting pitchers, or at least ERA-wise, in Cameron and Bubic in Kansas City and pound them. And then the last game at Kansas City, they sit Judge, the offense goes nowhere, and then they can't get a hit in Boston, and now it's starting to feed on itself. And we know as Yankee fans, these stretches tend to last a while. Last year, they were incredible for the first 2 months, and then they had a long stretch, even with Juan Soto, a long stretch, 25 of 25, 500 for 50 games. That can't happen again. And whether you want to blame the manager, whether you want to blame the low IQ players, you want to blame the lineup around Aaron Judge, never mind the fact that they have nine other guys besides him with above average OPSs, whatever you want to blame, we can blame the manager, we can blame Cashman, we can blame the players, we can blame whomever. Somehow, this team has to do something different than what it did the last couple of years. They've got to find a way to put their foot in the ground and get back to their winning ways and not allow this to prolong. Because that is what's happened in prior years. And the difference to me is, even when they were winning, we saw the crap with Gleyber Torres. We saw the poor outfield in the defense with Juan Soto at times. We saw DJ LeMahieu be a complete zero at the bottom of the lineup. And although he was bad in this game, hasn't been the case. A lot of the answers that we were looking for were found in Bellinger, in Goldschmidt, in Grisham. They've taken the extra base better than any team in recent Yankee history. They've been thrown out on the bases less than any team in recent Yankee history. And they've been better with runners in scoring position than the Yankee teams of the last couple of seasons. And they've been deeper. And they've had more above average major league hitters in the lineup. They have answered a lot of the questions for the first 68 games. It wasn't just that they were winning. They were winning and playing much better at the small fringe things that we all complain about. They were doing it a lot better. And now for the last four games, it's all come to the forefront in damn near every one of them. This has got to be a blip on the radar instead of the beginning of a trend that we have seen the last couple of years with the New York Yankees. This is not the end of the season. This is not reason to panic. This doesn't prove that they're a lousy baseball team. It doesn't mean they suck. All the same crap. We know where this team is going. This team is going to the postseason. This team is going to be a playoff team. And it's how they perform when they get there. Bottom line. But they've got to show us, and they've got to show themselves, that when they get into these funks and they start playing poorly, they're able to come out of it. Because right now, even though it's against the Angels, because we've seen it be against, it doesn't matter how good the teams are, how bad the teams are, prove this team is different. Because it has been for the first 68 games of the year. They've got to find a way to nip this in the bud and get back to playing winning baseball. Because what we've seen the last couple days and what we saw last night, especially in the situational hitting department, is tough to take and impossible to watch. And there is no reason they couldn't scratch across a run to beat the Angels 1-0. And instead, a stupid little, ball off the end of the bat, gets down the line, beats them when they had multiple opportunities all game long to pull a ball to the second base hole and move a runner over, to bunt a runner over, to get one measly hit with runners in scoring position, and they fell flat on their face. And now it's been a 30-year stretch. Like, it has been 35 years since the Yankees have been this bad over a five-game stretch offensively. It needs to end tomorrow. 888-808-1019. We'll go through all the different situations. I know a lot of you are hung up on Volpe. We could talk about Volpe. We could talk about the end of the last at-bat of the game. We could talk about how they play the small ball. Should Jazz Chisholm have bunted earlier in the game? You know, there's a lot of different stuff going on in this game. To me, there's only one thing to blame the manager on, and I don't know why he took the bunt off of DJ LeMahieu after the first pitch of that at-bat. Other than that, the players got to perform better, plain and simple. We're so quick to blame the manager. With one hand, we'll tell you Brian Cashman never puts together a good enough team. And on the other hand, we'll tell you, well, Aaron Boone's an idiot. Someone's doing something good. And we're either blaming the players or we're blaming the manager. And I tend to blame the player when they don't know it's one strike instead of two. I tend to blame the player when he sees a runner have an excellent jump to steal third and still foul the ball off. I tend to blame the player when he can't get a bunt down. That's where I sit. The players need to execute better, plain and simple. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls. We'll get to the Mets as well as they start off a terrible weekend of their own. Start a very big series against the Atlanta Braves. out in Atlanta. You got David Peterson, who right now is kind of thrusted into the role of ace when you consider Clay Holmes and maybe, you know, feeling a little bit sore in the off days, and no Kodai Senga because of a hamstring injury. You're looking at David Peterson kind of being your ace, as he has turned himself into one of the best left-handed pitchers in the league. He goes on the mound tonight against the Atlanta Braves, looking to kick off a stretch of better baseball for them as they just got beat all three over the weekend against the Tampa Bay Rays. They've got a big stretch coming up, and the Yankees need to turn.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This crap around right now.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
All right, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 233. On this Tuesday morning, I got you for another hour and a half or so. 2.5 hours or so, rather, as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. And yeah, last night's Yankee game really bothered me more than even the Red Sox games because of what I just said. Like, the mistakes in the Red Sox game, as ugly as they were, to see Jason Dominguez not understand how many strikes there are, or to have Ben Rice dancing off second base trying to steal third, or whatever the hell he was trying to do to get picked off. You know, an error from Volpe that gets away from Goldschmidt that scores a run, or, you know, some of the obvious, just ugly mistakes, as bad as they were. And I heard Sal talking about, like, little league mistakes. Totally true. Totally true. Not knowing how many strikes there are in a big spot like that, that's little league mistakes. There's no question about it. But amazingly enough, they bother me less than last night did, because the problems that lost them the game last night have been a part of this team, right? I know we can go back through the Boone era if you'd like. Last year's team, fine. The first 68 games of the season, egregious mistakes on the base path have not been part of their problem. Getting caught off a second base unaware has not been a part of their problem. Egregious errors in big spots really hasn't been a part of their problem. For the first 68 games of the year, the things that crept up in the Boston series haven't been a part of this team's problem. It's been a part of previous teams' problem, and we'll see. Maybe it will become. I'm not immune to the idea that it could become a part of this team's problem as well. They're not so good that I don't foresee it still being a problem. But it hasn't really been their problem. But last night's game, that's been a problem all year. The situational hitting has been a problem all year. They have been particularly bad in extra innings this year. They have been really bad at moving runners over. They've had explosive innings, which, by the way, are important. I don't want to diminish that. They have already had more five-run innings this year than the Yankee team did all of last year with Juan Soto. They have been an explosive team, and not just against bad relievers, against starting pitchers to start the game in big spots, rallies late, rallies to beat San Diego late against the bullpen that didn't have anybody beat them late up until that point. Rallies against the Mets to score how many runs at the end of the game on Sunday night baseball. Like, they have been an explosive offense, and they have been a deep offense. And they have scored more runs than any team in the American League. They have been a really good top-to-bottom offense this year. And even with the struggles of the last 5 days, I'll still call them that. I don't weigh five games more than the first 68. I just don't. But that doesn't change the fact that what has hampered them in some of these tight games is the situational hitting. And we saw it on full display last night. And that's why it bothers me more, because this particular team has struggled with this all year. They haven't struggled with getting thrown out on the bases. They haven't struggled with little league mistakes. They haven't struggled with being bad at baseball. They haven't. You can say they have. They haven't. What they have struggled with is poor situational hitting. And last night was an epic display of it. Every turn, every time they needed something. Leadoff double from Jazz in the second. Volpe hits a fly ball to center. Can't move him over. You've got leadoff single from Jazz in the sixth. Volpe bunts, which again, believe it or not, I hate the bunt there. Why am I bunting to the bottom of the order? Why am I giving them an out to move a runner to second into scoring position with one out? To pitch to Wells and LeMahieu. I don't want to give them an out there. I know Jazz right now is a little hampered with the groin issue, so maybe you can't count on him to steal a base. I'd love to have him steal a base if he was up to it. But I don't want a sack bunt there. I don't. I don't even have a problem with not sack bunting Jazz later in a different spot in the game with the leadoff double. Leadoff double in the ninth. Jazz is up. I don't mind not bunting there. I really don't. I got Jazz. He's a pull hitter. Hit a ground ball. Maybe it gets through. Again, do I want to? We all think Volpe sucks. Do I want to put the inning, the game, on the at bat of Canley Jansen versus Volpe? But if he pulls a ground ball, he does the same thing as bunting, but maybe it squeaks through. I have no problem. The problem is Jazz has a terrible at bat and strikes out on three pitches. That's the problem. And I'm not so sure how confident I am that Jazz Chisholm gets the bunt down, to be totally honest with you, watching not only the Yankees bunt, but the Angels bunt. Nito pops the ball straight into the air. Like, teams don't bunt well anymore, and I don't know if I trust Jazz to bunt well enough to actually execute it, and I'd rather take a chance he hits a ground ball through. And all he has to do is pull a ground ball, and he moves the runner over. They just have been extremely unsuccessful at it. And then in that bat, Volpe, after the Jazz strikeout, Volpe's got to see that Dominguez is stealing second base. He just has to, third base. He has to notice that and not swing. And then you get to the DJ bunt in the 11th, which is by far, like, the thing that bothers me the most is that DJ LeMahieu. bunt in the 10th, rather. And that's the one thing I'm going to get on Boone for. It makes no sense to me to take the bunt off. Bunt him. He bunts a foul ball. I understand that. I wish he would lay it down. And then he ends up swinging and almost rolling a bunt perfectly. It goes foul. Why are we taking the bunt off until he has two strikes? Frustrating game. Extremely frustrating game. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Limo Driver Ed. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, my brother. Hey, man, listen. How are you? I want everybody, all right, between my Mets and the Yankees, I love the Yankees. Listen, everybody needs to relax. I mean, you know, right now, the Yankees, have they had a day off? Really? Had a day off?
Did they have a day off on Thursday? Yeah, they. No, I don't think so. No, they haven't had since last Monday.
Between the Mets and Dolphins, I don't know what the league is trying to do to them, but they haven't had a day off. The guy's tired, man. I mean,
that's not it.
No one's going to go 160. Listen, no one's going to go 162 around. It's not going to happen.
Agreed.
And between the Mets and the Yankees, they've been doing very well, and they're going to go through stretches like this during the course of the year.
Absolutely.
But they will be ready at the end of the year. And I just don't want anybody to start going crazy. Listen, they make mistakes. That happens. You know, they mess up in the bases. That happens. Nothing we can do about that. But like my man Aaron Rodgers says, everybody just relax. They're okay. You're going to lose a game here and there. That's how this sport is. I've never seen a sport, especially with baseball, hundreds of years that, you know, teams don't play good right now. Right now, they're going through a stretch that they're tired.
Ed, thank you for the call, and I appreciate the I do agree with you. I mean, I'm frustrated with the game, and I do think they need to improve with their situational hitting. They've been they've been epically bad. Right now, I understand, again, and I've said it before, the rule is not going to be there in the postseason. They're not going to have a man at second base. So I take the extra inning numbers with a grain of salt, but they're so bad, and it is playing situational baseball with, you know, it is possible in a late game situation you get a leadoff double, and now you're in that situation. You've got to be able to do better than they've done with this kind of situational hitting. There's no doubt. You just have to be better at it. And again, I don't think it's not that the approaches are so bad. Again, I have no problem with the Volpe approach in the final at bat. I really don't, other than he swung in a bad pitch. That's not the pitch you want to swing at. I don't think he'd just be standing there with the bat up is where the sun don't shine, just waiting for a strike. I don't agree with that. I do not think he should just stand there and take a strike. I don't agree. Anthony Volpe strikes out. I don't want Anthony Volpe falling behind with a fastball down the middle. I don't. Just to say, oh, I took a strike. But you can't have that kind of swing. Even if you're looking slider, I don't agree with it. I'd look fastball. But say you're looking slider for a certain pitcher who throws sliders. Fine. If you get what you want, then give me a representative good swing. He's out in front and rolls it over to third base. It's a terrible swing. That's the problem I have with it. The manager shouldn't give him the take sign. I really don't think so. They're major league hitters. I got to trust them. And if he gets a fastball down the middle, now I'm 0-1, and I just let the best pitch of the at-bat go through because this guy's going to come in and not want to fall behind. The guy threw a good slider on the outside corner. Take it and move on. But, like, the overall approach, like, what do you do? Like, how do you make, and again, this is where, like, I don't blame Boone for it necessarily. I don't. Like, right now, the Mets can't hit with runners in scoring position. They're a bottom team in the league with runners in scoring position. Does anybody say Mendoza's at fault? Does anybody say, man, Mendoza, I don't know what he's doing. These guys can't hit with runners in scoring position. They've got to execute. I would have kept the bunt on DJ. Other than that, go out there and execute. Hey, Jazz, you've been hitting ground balls the whole game. Don't overswing. Don't try and do too much. I'm going to give you the at-bat. Put a good swing on a fastball and look to pull the ball. That's it. Hey, Dominguez, you get a fastball in the outside corner? keep it fair instead of fouling off good pitches to hit and then getting jammed. And that, I mean, I don't think it matters, but on that play in the final inning with Goldschmidt at third base, he's got to wait a second to make sure it's not caught in the air because it's a little bloop. It could have been caught. The second baseman's playing in. It could have been caught on the fly, so he waits a second. And once he does, he probably shouldn't head home. But I don't think it necessarily cost them to not have a runner at third base with two outs. It's just they just over and over again in this game could not come through with the big hit, could not come through with even laying down a bunt. You get Jonathan Loaisiga to hold them down in the top of the 10th and you come to the bottom of the 10th, you got to win that game. Plain and simple. Extra innings, the top of the they don't score in the top of the inning. You have to win in the bottom of the inning. That's it. Bottom line, you have to. Get down the freaking bunt, hit a sacrifice fly, let's all go home. It's embarrassing how they played this game. There's no doubt. Very frustrated, but having said that, yeah, you're right. I'm not overly concerned about it. I'm really not even overly concerned that the Rays were behind the Yankees by 7 and now it's 2.5. It'll be back to 7. I firmly believe that. It's the ebbs and flows of a season. Tampa Bay's not this good. And here's another thing that, again, nobody wants to say this or notice this or you know, it's whataboutism when I say it, and that's fair, I guess. But did you watch the Rays play against the Mets? I know they won all three games, but did you watch them play Friday night? Did you watch them play Sunday? Like, they put on their hitting shoes, to quote the great Aaron Boone, and they scored a ton of runs on Sunday, but like Friday night, they kicked the ball around all over the place. They had three guys out on the base paths. Three. And one of them was at third for the third out of the inning. The Boston Red Sox lead the world in errors. Before the Yankees came in, Roman Anthony, first game, ground ball, base hit to right field, just rolls right by him. He completely ran to the side of it and played it terribly. Like, we don't want to mention the idea, as Ed just said, this is baseball. You make mistakes. We are hyper-focused on the one team we watch. The Yankees make their fair share of mistakes, absolutely. But they have been far better, far crisper, far more buttoned up this year with the bad, obvious, just blunders. They have. But they can't, they've really struggled with runners in scoring. Not runners in scoring position, but these situational hitting. They can't get a bunt down. They can't move a runner over in a big spot. They have really struggled. And again, it's not that the offense sucks. Say what you want. It's a bad five games. It's a historically bad five games. Again, you have to go back to August of 1990 to score this few runs in five games with this low of an OPS. 1990. Back when George ran the team, and I'm shocked because I was told he would never allow any of this. But somehow it happened under George's watch in 1990. He would never allow any of this. No. Just, cougars in the clubhouse. Guys bringing their 16-year-old girlfriends to team events. But no, he would never allow any of this. But, I mean, they've got to be better at it. And right now it feels like it wears on them. And I think this is where, this is Boone's job. And I will admit this, the slumps go way too long. He's got to find a way. It doesn't have to be yelling at everybody. It doesn't have to be cursing them out in the media. Like, it's just, there are guys who do it, there are guys who don't. We know Aaron Boone is going to bend over backwards to make sure he doesn't criticize anyone. And it doesn't matter who it is. Ben Rice, watch the highlight again of Ben Rice running off the field as he was caught trying to steal third base. Boone is staring bullets through him. Like, there, you can't tell me that Aaron Boone did not get into his face. Mendoza has talked about this with Evan and Tiki, and we heard for years Mendoza was the guy who was really tough on Gleyber Torres. Like, what we don't see is different than what they show us. But the bottom line is, whatever they show us, whatever they don't show us, we know he's going to bend over backwards publicly. For whatever reason, these slumps, they build on itself, and you could feel the Yankees getting tight. And it's and I this is where I disagree. A lot of people will tell you, oh, it's the cookies and milk of Aaron Boone. Oh, there's no repercussions. There's no this, there's no that. I don't view it that way. I really don't. I think Aaron Judge dropped the pop-up because he's trying to do too much and he's looking ahead at the runner instead of watching the ball into his glove. And it's not because the Mariners is okay with it. It's because in that moment, he's trying to see if he can make a play, make an out, and instead of just looking the ball into his glove. That's what I think it is. I think, you know, Volpe's trying to steal third base and he's taking a jump that's not good enough and he's still going to go do it because he's trying to win a game against Boston because they lost 2 out of 3 to Boston last time and this, you know, they don't want to lose this game. I feel like the Yankees get tighter, not looser, tighter. These mistakes are trying to do too much. The at-bats in tight game situations, it's trying to do too much. And that's on Aaron Boone's got to find a way to loosen them up. Aaron Boone's got to find a way to make them more comfortable in these spots. But yes, of course, I'm with you, Ed. It's a 5-game stretch. It's their first 4-game losing streak of the season. They're still a way better baseball team than the Tampa Bay Rays. They still have a 3-game loss column lead in the division. The bats are going to turn it around. They're playing the Angels at home. They're rolling that into the Orioles at home. They're going to turn this around. But they've got to find a way to be better at this because, again, the mental mistakes has not been an issue for this team. This year, this team, it hasn't been. The situational hitting has, and that's why last night bothered me. And plus, you know, Stanton comes in and looks great. He has the one at-bat where he, you know, has his typical swinging at a slider that is, you know, 45 feet outside. But other than that, every at-bat, his first at-bat, he hits a bullet to third. Then he gets a bullet base hit. He's on it. He hit everything hard. He hit almost everything hard. He gets the double late in the game situation. Like, he's just, he came in and looked locked in. And I know there was a lot of speculation or, you know, concern. Because it's, you know, I think the thing with Stanton is he's just playing hurt. And it's a matter of how long they're going to let him play hurt or, you know, how he felt. But, you know, I saw John Boy do a thing where yesterday Boone said, well, you know, he's been swinging for a couple of months. And everyone's like, well, if he's swinging for a couple of months, why wasn't he up here earlier? All he's doing is swinging. So if he's swinging, you know, in the clubhouse or he's swinging, you know, in the batting cages, why can't he swing at the major league level? It's not like he's playing the field. All he's doing is swinging. I think this is just a matter of maintenance. And Stanton did not want to play until he was fully ready. And he looked fully ready. So I think Stanton's going to be a big piece of this offense. They're going to have some juggling to do. We'll see how much, you know, Rice plays. We'll see if Ascara loses time to Rice at catcher. Goldschmidt was the first guy to be put on the bench with Stanton's arrival. So we're going to find out how they manage all this, but he's going to be a huge addition. He's another massive threat in the lineup, and he looks locked in right now, so hopefully he'll be part of this thing turning around, but I fully expect him to. But last night was frustrating. There's no two ways around it. Off of that series, off of getting swept by the Boston Red Sox and not scoring any runs, to come out against the Anaheim Angels and to be shut out and now are in 20 consecutive scoreless innings. You know, this offense has got to prove what it was the first 68 games because right now they look a little bit different. Andrew, let's get back to the calls. Andrew Manalapan, what's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, man? My biggest thing till this day is all the prospects that Cashman promised were going to be superstars, all-stars, Volpe, Dominguez, Peraza, Cabrera, Florio, Spencer Jones, all these guys. These are the guys that were supposed to prevent us from going out and having to sign a big all-star. And every year you hear about these guys, and every year they just don't perform. And those guys don't perform, the Yankees, they're never going to win anything. They might get to the World Series. They might get to the playoffs. But those guys don't perform, though.
All right, well, I mean, Volpe had an 800 OPS in the postseason, hit a grand slam in the World Series, and arguably the most important hit of the entire Cleveland series with a base hit off Class A that helped them, you know, win Game 4. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, he didn't help them.
How many good trades did we pass up on with Dominguez and Volpe and Florial because they were untouchable, as Cashman will put it. And now it's just, are they untouchable? You know, gotten somebody better?
I don't know. And thank you for the call, Andrew. I don't know. Again, if you go through it, the Peraza and Volpe tandem at shortstop is why they didn't sign guys. Other than Corey Seager, who are you that mad they didn't sign? Like, honestly, Corey Seager, I'll give you. He's injured all the time, but still. Was a World Series MVP for the Texas Rangers a couple years ago. He's a great player. Trevor Story, although he's getting hot right now, has hardly played, and when he has, he's been awful. Carlos Correa, for the money you would have had to give him, he's no better than Anthony Volpe. Look at the numbers. He's no better than in a big game. Do you trust him better than Volpe? Sure, I guess. He's had that track record. Again, Anthony Volpe had an 800 OPS in the postseason last year and hit a grand slam in the World Series. But he's been bad. Trey Turner, better offensive player than Volpe. He is the worst defensive shortstop in Major League Baseball. The very worst. They don't know what they're going to move him to center field. They don't know what to do in Philadelphia with him. He's a terrible defensive shortstop, and he's making gobs of money. Like, in the moment, it was like, oh my God, we're passing on all of these guys. And honestly, they were better, other than Seager, they were better off passing on all of them for Anthony Volpe right now. And we'll see what Dominguez is. He's just getting his career started. But there's no doubt the development of the baby bombers into this were a huge failure, other than Judge, and that's been a major problem. But you look at this team right now, I don't know. Rice seems to be doing okay. He's cooled off a little bit, but he's got a 760 OPS. He seems to be doing okay. I think Dominguez is coming along. He's not a superstar, but he's coming along. Volpe's having the best offensive year of his career. I mean, and whatever we want to say about Austin Wells, he's on pace for 25-90 as a catcher. You know how many of those there are in Major League Baseball? Not many.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.